May I speak in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The word Lent means springtime, a time we associate with new beginnings and growth, new life. We see it in nature around us as bulbs planted in the dark soil and hidden all winter start to shoot above the ground, and we glory in the beauty of snowdrops, daffodils, and even some very early tulips. In the Christian faith, Lent is not always beautiful, and it can be a demanding time, whether we give something up or take something up, a reminder of the challenging nature of living and professing a Christian faith. During Lent, we often consider ourselves to be in an uncertain period of transition that brings us closer to understanding Jesus' journey towards Jerusalem, and therefore closer to a deeper understanding of God. I imagine that most of us focus our attention on this during Holy Week, when we particularly remember that last week of Jesus' life, starting on Palm Sunday with his triumphant arrival in Jerusalem, participating in Maundy Thursday services where we share in the Eucharistic celebration of the Last Supper, sitting at the foot of the cross on Good Friday, experiencing the desolation of loss, before on Easter Sunday we celebrate the message of new life and hope that sustains us as we continue on life's journey. The central part of Mark's Gospel brings the suffering associated with that journey into focus much earlier, as Jesus makes the physical journey from Caesarea Philippi in the north to the road heading south from Jericho, preparing for his entry into Jerusalem. As Jesus and his disciples travel, Mark draws our attention to the way Jesus teaches his disciples about what will happen to him in Jerusalem, and therefore what following him really entails. Whilst I was at college, one of the things I learned is that Christian faith can be informed and enlightened by many sources. Scripture, definitely, but also tradition, reason, and experience. Within the Anglican Church, each person will view their faith from a unique perspective, and different schools of thought will place more emphasis on one aspect than another. Here at St. Mark's, we acknowledge that each one of you, sat in the pews or joining on Zoom, will be at different stages on your faith journey and bring different awareness of scripture, tradition, and experience from your past with you. My own understanding is that each of these elements is important and can help reveal different aspects of our faith. At different times in our lives, our starting point will be different. When I'm preaching, my starting point is scripture, usually the lectionary reading set for the day. If I'm wrestling with a specific issue, my starting point is usually the experience and how it affects myself or the individual or those around them. Now, those of you who were on Zoom for the midday Thursday Eucharist just over a week ago may well think you've heard today's gospel reading recently. Well, you'd be nearly right, as what we heard that day was Luke's account of the same situation. Jesus openly and quite uncompromisingly informing his disciples that the Son of Man will undergo great suffering, be rejected by the temple officials, be killed, and then be raised up on the third day. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all retell the story in a very similar way. Each offers us slightly different accounts and different bits of information at different times. Context and having the bigger picture helps us to consider things differently. However, sometimes things appear to have been omitted. Perhaps it's because it's the part that caught my attention. I noticed that Luke doesn't include Peter's response to Jesus' news of his impending death. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Experience became important to me as I pondered what it would be like to put myself in the disciples' shoes, to wonder what my reaction to Jesus' words would be. I saw myself being in denial, saying, "This can't happen to you," in a similar way that Matthew recounted Peter saying, "God forbid it, Lord." I imagine the disciples were shaken by what Jesus said. Logic and reason led me to think that they'd have heard the many complaints and threats against Jesus, so surely they must have known that he was in danger, even though at this stage they didn't fully understand his true identity. And what really struck me was that in the passage that comes just before our reading today, Peter had clearly heard and fully understood the first part of what Jesus had said about the suffering and the rejection and that Jesus will be killed. But he's not heard and not understood the latter part, that after 3 days, Jesus would rise again. Now, it's easy for me to say that when I have the benefit of hindsight or experience. Peter was clearly very attached to Jesus, and it feels as though he couldn't bear to think of Jesus' death. Returning to Scripture and making the assumption that Peter had knowledge or experience of the story of the Transfiguration, I got the sense he was just beginning to grasp the concept that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But he was horrified that Jesus expected to receive such harsh treatment that would lead to his death. Peter's faith was therefore tested. There are all sorts of ways in which our faith is tested. Ill health of ourselves or someone we love. Accidents that could or could not be life-changing. Breakdown in relationships. Bereavement or facing our own mortality, amongst many others. So how do we get past these challenges and find something life-giving in something that appears negative, not denying the reality or any fears that we might be experiencing, but looking at the bigger picture and searching for the signs of things that are life-giving and bring meaning and a renewed sense of hope? Maybe Peter didn't say anything we haven't thought or even wanted to say. Jesus had a very different understanding of discipleship than most of us probably want. Putting myself into the story, either by seeing which character I relate to or completely shy away from, often raises more questions than I can reflect on and sets me off searching for more information that helps me better understand my response. In today's gospel, I ask myself, why am I, like Peter, focusing on Jesus' death and not on his reassurance that after 3 days he will rise again? I'm thankful that, much as Lent griefs give us the opportunity to discuss and explore the Bible, I've been able to chat to friends and colleagues about what I found to be a difficult passage and a difficult question. Bible study is something we all do in different ways. There's an expectation that having been through training, that my knowledge will be greater than many other people's. But I still feel that I've got a very limited understanding of Scripture. My upbringing within the Christian tradition and my life experiences helped offer me pieces that connected into the bigger picture and allowed me to get beyond my initial response, which, like Peter's, was about my personal discomfort and unmet expectations, and led me deeper into Jesus' response. I'm fairly sure that Peter would not have expected Jesus to challenge his response so fiercely with the response, "Get behind me, Satan." Having recognized Jesus as the promised Messiah, his expectations of Jesus would probably have been of someone who could deliver the Jewish nation and be the savior of mankind. So Jesus' revelation that he would be killed would subvert all those hopes. Peter wanted a Messiah who was strong, victorious, and invulnerable. Jesus rejects that vision, instead offering an image of a God who is no stranger to suffering and who's willing to demonstrate vulnerable leadership that is offered with humility and love. Jesus reframes Peter's expectations. When another's reality and vision begin to conflict with and overtake our own, we often can't help criticizing or rebuking them. Faith in Jesus, Peter is learning, is not about the elimination of risks, the preservation of life, and the ability to control. Instead, Jesus asks us to risk it all, to abandon our lives, and to relinquish control to God. This is what Jesus is doing, and he expects nothing less of us, whatever our calling or vocation in life. Sometimes this means we need to lay down our past, and when we're ready to move forward, we need to stand up and speak our honest truth, even if it ruffles a few feathers in the process. We are asked to exercise vulnerable leadership, embracing moments of uncertainty, whilst holding on to the bigger picture of potential, that although physical death is a reality, death does not prevail. Resurrection moments do exist in our lives in worldly terms. It's not all about achievement, possessions, or status. If we have our integrity, are true to ourselves, and are following what we believe to be God's will for us, then we have life in the eternal kingdom of God. There's a phrase that says, "The core of Christian faith is revealed in Scripture, illuminated by tradition, brought to life through personal experience, and is confirmed by reason." I'm going to end today with some verses from A Blessing by John O'Donohue. May you know tender shelter and healing blessing when you're called to stand in the place of pain. May the places of darkness within you be surprised by light. May you be granted the wisdom to avoid false resistance, and when suffering knocks on the door of your life, may you be able to glimpse its hidden gift. May you be able to see the fruits of suffering. May memory bless and shelter you with the hard-earned light of past turmoil to remind you that you have survived before. And though the darkness is now deep, you will soon see approaching light. Amen.